Let's get our Bibles out tonight. Let's go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings chapter 9. Good to see everyone here tonight in the house of the Lord. Amen. God is able to help us in our time of need. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 1, 2, and 3. Praise the Lord. You ready for the word of God tonight? 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 1, 2, and 3. And it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house, or made it holy, which thou hast built, to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. My eyes, everybody said God's eyes. Everybody said God's heart. God's heart. Amen. God's eyes and God's heart dwell somewhere. Amen. And I want to know where they dwell, and I want to be right there in the spot. Praise God. I want to talk about the heartbeat of God tonight. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord. We thank you tonight for the word of God. Thank you for each and every one that's here tonight. Lord, I ask you to lift us up into the word of God. Let the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost come down on us tonight. We give you honor, praise, and thanks. We give you thanks for the word of God tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. You know, when God created all things, we understand in the word of God that it says, when it was finished, that God said, it is very good. Everybody said, it is very good. It's very good. And when you look at all of the things that have been created, it is very good. We're still trying to decipher what God did. You know, it used to be said that in the visible universe, there's about 150 billion galaxies, is what they said at one point. They have looked further with the new technology that they have, and they have discovered, as far as they can see, that there are trillions of galaxies, not stars, but galaxies, which contain probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 billion stars, like our small Milky Way galaxy. And, you know, God is so excited about the things that he created. The Bible says that God gave every star a name. Amen. He gave every star a name because from the smallest to the greatest, they all had their eye of God upon them. Amen. It's awesome when you look at it. You can't say that we serve a small God tonight, but we serve the Lord. Amen. And when it was said and done, God rejoiced over his creation, but there was something that was lacking, and that is that the thing that God created could not return to him any kind of love or affection. And the physical universe that God created did not have a free choice, but it was created to do a certain thing, a certain function, and the Bible says that it's all held up by the word of God's power, and it is still operating exactly as it did when God created it. Amen. And because of this lack in those things that he made, God made man. I'm glad that God made man. I'm glad that I'm here tonight. Used to wonder why I'm here, but now I know why I'm here. Praise God. And the only thing that God created that was given the power of choice is man. He was given the power of choice to build. He was given the power to understand. He was given many, many powers and authorities. And in fact, the Bible says that he gave them, or gave mankind, the authority over all the things that he created. Amen. Over all the living things and over the physical world in which we live. And the heavens could not create independently of God and were put into certain parameters of activity. They could not go outside of the bounds where God had put them, and they just are doing what God made them to do. And so with mankind, God gave us a power of choice. God gave us the power to create, not create like God did, but to build and to take the things that are around us and to build them into something good. Amen. This is not just for Christians, but this is for all of mankind. Amen. You can go to communist, atheist nations, and they have built things, and God did not stop them from building those things because God will not violate his choice to give us a choice. Amen. And he has given us a free will. And so because of the free will that we have, anything that is built outside of the free will can't bring eternal pleasure and joy. God said it is very good, but how long can a star excite you? Amen. How long can gold or silver that you created excite you and give you eternal pleasure? And you say, well, is that really scriptural? The Bible says that all things were created for his pleasure. Amen. And God gets pleasure when he looks at his creation. And so when God created man, he created man with a free will, the free will to choose what he would do with the world in which God placed him. And from the beginning, God desired, and God desires today, a relationship with his humanity. And the measure in the beginning was to show him what was acceptable and unacceptable. Amen. To show mankind from the very beginning what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. And we read those in the scriptures, and the scripture says they are called commandments. Amen. It is called the law and the commandments. Amen. From the very simple ones to the complex ones that we can look at in the Old Testament, God gave them to us as a benchmark. God gave them to us as a point of reference that we can go from there. Amen. And along with the commandments also came the penalties if they were not followed. And so relationship in the Old Testament, by and large, was not perfect. And in fact, Paul said, if it was not perfect, there would not have been sought another way or a New Testament. And under the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, this relationship was based upon fear. Amen. And fear also is not perfect. It does not allow the individual to make a choice based upon free will. Amen. But it is a command. It is something that has to be followed, or there will be immediate penalties that will have to be paid. Now, don't misunderstand me tonight. We still believe in the law of God. We still believe in the commandments of God. They are the reference point to us of good and evil, of right and wrong. The commandments of God are very important in your life. They are very important in the church. Amen. And I've often wondered when we talk about David, and we read tonight about the building of the house of the Lord, we have to talk about David when we talk about the house of the Lord. And I've often wondered about this man, David, in whom the Lord put a lot of stock, in whom the Lord said, this is the kind of guy my eye is upon. This is the very individual that my heart is connected to. And we know that it wasn't altogether and probably not at all his achievements or his abilities, because we know when we talk about performance, every one of us falls short. And David fell short with the great sin that he sinned against God, against his fellow man. But somehow God had a love for David. God had something that begs an answer to the question, why? Why, God, did you feel this way about David? And I think the answer is found in his love for God, in David's love for God. A little clue here is found in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. This is one of his brothers. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Amen. A lot of folks will use that scripture to say that holy dressing is not important, but that's not what it's talking about. In the context of the scripture, it's talking about don't look at how tall he is. Don't look at how good-looking he is. Do not look at his countenance or at his face and say, wow, this is a really good-looking guy. He probably would fit the bill. He said, don't look at the outward appearance, for the Lord looks on the heart. And in fact, the heart of God came to this world in the person of Jesus Christ. And when he came, it was not according to his height. It was not according to his stature. It was not according to anything that was on the outward, but it was what was on the inside. Amen. The heart of God was exposed in Jesus Christ. Amen. And out of all of God's creation, the only thing that God looks at is the heart of mankind. Amen. That's where his eyes. Yes, his eyes are upon the sparrow. His eye is upon all of his creation, but the eyes of God are upon his work that he started on the day of Pentecost and is continuing unto this day. Praise God. Amen. David purposed in his heart, and I won't go to the scripture tonight, but David purposed in his heart that he would build a house for God. I believe tonight that the significance of this is that there was no commandment to do this. There was no law that said you've got to build a house for God. There was no one motivating him but his heart. There was nothing that was motivating David to desire this and to say, I want to build a house for God. And in fact, I said I didn't have the scripture, but I do. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Why don't you turn with me tonight? Somebody ought to just say amen. 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 Help me tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 1, 2, and 3. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house. This would be David. And the Lord had given him rest round about all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Amen. And so David looked around at his house. Amen. Haggai talks about this. And the Lord condemned Israel at that point in time. And he said, you all go to your sealed houses or to your home that is stuccoed and sealed and there's a ceiling and you've made it nice. He said, you go to your sealed houses but this house is laid waste. And he said, go and get wood and build the house. So that was a commandment at that point in time. But I'm telling you, you're not going to get a real deep relationship with someone who just does what you tell them to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're not going to get a deep relationship with that. And so David was not motivated by God speaking to him. David was not motivated by anything but his heart. And when he said, go and do all that it's in your heart, he didn't check in with the Lord, because the Lord spoke to him later and the Lord said, David is not going to build this house because of the blood that is upon his hands. But that didn't mean that God was not interested in this idea. And he allowed Solomon, David's son, to build the house of the Lord, to build the temple of God. And David said, well, if I can't build it because of the blood that is upon my hands, if I can't do this thing that's in my heart, I'm going to start laying up materials. I'm going to get everybody starting to chisel stones. I'm going to get cedar from Lebanon. I'm going to get gold and silver and colors and everything, and I'm going to lay up. I'm not going to be able to build this myself, but I'm going to lay it up for somebody that'll come along and build it. Praise God. What a selfless man this David was. And the motivation of his heart was to please God with his life. And you can look at the things that he did that was wrong and that he failed God in. But in the deepest recesses of David's heart, there was a desire to please God. Amen. Too often we get the idea that pleasing God is just obeying the commandments. But that's not all there is to it. Amen. Jesus said, if you're asked to go a mile, go two. Amen. Amen. If someone asks for your coat, give them your cloak also. Praise God. Go above and beyond. And it is the principle here that David lived his life by. Amen. That's why he poured the water out when the men came with the water from the well of Bethlehem. He poured it out and said, I can't do this. It wasn't a law or a commandment. It was something that came from his heart. Amen. I don't know about you, but I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. This is something in the Word of God that we need to really understand and get a hold of in our lives. Amen. It's not because the pastor says I have to do this. And it's not necessarily even because God says I have to do it. I want to do it from a heart of love for my God. Amen. And so Solomon was able to build it. And I read the scripture tonight in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 1, 2, and 3. And it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire which he had pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this place, or this house, which thou hast built, to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Amen. No one, maybe except Enoch, no one that I read in Scripture had such a heart after God as David did. There was something about this man, David, that was very special. And it would do us all well to look into the motivation and the heart that was in the man David. Praise God. And I've got a feeling that because God felt this way about him, that this is why he was forgiven. Amen. And Scripture tells us in many places that it is the sure mercies of David. There was something about David that God just remembered from generation to generation. There was something about this man that over the millenniums of time that God said, I'm going to do this for David's sake. Amen. I'm going to move for David's sake. Praise God. I want God to move in my life, but I want God to move in my children's lives. I want God to move in my grandchildren's lives. Praise God. I want God not to stop at all right here and let them fend for themselves, but I want it to go on from generation to generation to generation. Amen. One scripture in particular, Isaiah 55 and verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And so Isaiah was prophesying to Israel before the coming of the Babylonians. He prophesied of the judgment that would to come, or that was to come. And yet, even in all of that judgment and all of those prophecies concerning the Babylonians, that God said, if you'll come near to me, if you will come unto me and hear, and your soul shall live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. And then he threw David in there, even the sure mercies of David. In other words, if you will get a hold of the attitude that David had, if you will model your life after David, I know David was not a perfect man. That's not the part of it I'm talking about tonight. But if we can get a hold of the heartbeat of David, amen, the idea that he had in his mind, I want to please God. I'm not just going to obey the commandments, because if all I do is obey the commandments, it won't be very long and I'll be filled with pride. I'll be filled with myself, and I will not have the blessings of God in my life. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. The sure mercies of David. That word sure there means to build up or to support or to foster as a parent or a nurse, to render firm or faithful. Amen. And so the sure mercies of David, the word mercies there, means kindness. Amen. I'll just leave it right there. Kindness and favor. Amen. Or kindly or loving kindness or merciful. That's exactly what we need in serving God. That's what we need in life. Amen. We need the sure mercies of God, the solid foundation, amen, of grace and mercy that God has given to us. Anybody feel that way tonight? I feel that way tonight. Amen. And so, with all the failures and the sins that David committed, it's incredible to me that he became the standard for blessings. Amen. That he became the standard in God's eyes. And I'm going to show you that it didn't stop in the Old Testament, but it goes on to the New Testament as well. Amen. There was nothing more exciting to God. He created everything and he said it is very good. But when he looked at David, amen, when he looked at David, he said, this is very, very good. And I'm not putting words in God's mouth, but I'm just using that as a way to describe how God felt about this man, David. Amen. And so David is now gone, and Solomon has built the temple. It was 7 years in building of that temple. They built it off-site, they hauled it in, and they put it in place so that a hammer was not heard, a saw was not heard, and when it was finished, God looked at that temple and he remembered David. Amen. This is here not because of Solomon. This is here because of David. And you do a little bit of reading into it and you'll find that the Lord said to Solomon, I'm going to bless this place. I'm going to do great things here. If you will stay on the course and you will do what I tell you to do, everything will be all right. He never told David that because he knew in the heart of David it was already there. But it wasn't in the heart of Solomon, because eventually Solomon went after other gods and Israel took a nosedive, ended up in civil war. The Babylonians, the Medes, and the Persians came and they ransacked the country because they had fallen away from God. You know what? It's not the will of God that we fall away from God. I said it's not the will of God that we fall away from God. But it is the will of God that His eye be upon us continually. Amen. And that He will have us in His heart continually. I want God to say, my heart's right there, and point at me. Praise the Lord. I want God to say, that's my house right there. That's where my heart is. I'm going to go there. I'm going to work there. I'm going to bless there. I'm going to do great things there, because there is an attitude there in which I can bless and I can move. Praise God. And so when we look at it tonight, we can see that Jesus Christ came from the lineage of David. Amen. And this lineage of David was a man. Yes, he was. He was 100% man and 100% God at the same time. And he came through the lineage of David. It was so exciting to God that he picked a young girl that was of the lineage of David to conceive his own very son. And so when Jesus was born, he was of the seed of David. Amen. He became the seed of David. And everyone that has him in their lives, we are also of the seed of David spiritually tonight. Amen. And since we are of the seed of David, amen, then the eyes of the Lord are here. Praise God. You say, well, I don't think the eyes of the Lord are here. The eyes of the Lord are here. Did you know that God's a healer right now, tonight? Did you know that God fills with the Holy Ghost tonight? Amen. Because His blessing is here. Because His favor is here. And He's looking for the right heart. Amen. And David became that standard of blessing. And so the Lord said, my eyes and my heart are going to be upon this place continually. Amen. Jesus was not born of Levi. And I feel like the reason is that Levi followed after carnal commandments. In other words, they were not spiritual commandments, not all of them. And they were warnings to man. They were instructions to man of how to approach God and what to wear in the ceremonial dress, and what to say and what to do and what sacrifices to bring. There was no individual thought process put into this. It was just a book. Amen. And I say just a book. The law of the Lord is perfect, and it's still perfect today. Amen. But it was a set order, and if you deviated from that, in fact, there were two sons of Aaron that deviated from that, and they offered strange fire before the Lord, and the Lord killed them. You're going to do it my way. And there was that instruction and that guidance and that foundation. Amen. The commandments of God are just as important today as they have ever been. Amen. But in this day that we live, amen, there is a difference. We are serving God not because of carnal commandments, but we are serving God because we have been filled with the Holy Ghost, and God now writes the laws on the tables of our heart. It's the heart. It was the heart of David. It was that attitude that he had way down deep inside that said, I love God so much. I'm going to do what He asked me to do, But I'll tell you what, I'd love to go beyond that and show God how much I really love Him. Praise God. I don't want to end up like the elder son that said, I followed all of your commandments, and now they're singing in the house and all of this. Amen. But what I want to do is I want to follow the commandments, be blessed on my father's property. Amen. Look forward to the inheritance that is to come. Amen. But every now and then, I want to just break out and have a party. Praise God. Every now and then, I want to do something extra. Amen. I want to show my father how much I appreciate him and how much I appreciate what he's done in my life. Amen. It wasn't Levi, but it was Judah. Amen. That's the lineage of David, of which there was nothing spoken of a Messiah. Amen. Because Levi became corrupted, and there were many others that did as well. But they became corrupted almost from the beginning. Amen. And they felt like serving God was just following directives and commandments. Amen. If you look at serving God as a group of rules and regulations, you've missed the point. Amen. That's not what living for God is all about. Yes, there are commandments, but it goes deeper than that. Amen. Well, praise God. Love goes above and beyond the law. There is a law of love that is higher than the written law. Amen. And it's given to us in the first two greatest commandments. The first commandment, we know what it is, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy performances that you do. Right? No. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Amen. He started with the heart, and it's got to go with the heart. And then he said, love your neighbor as yourself. And in our deepest heart of hearts, if you'll be honest tonight, you love yourself. And many, many today love themselves more than anything else. We're in a selfie generation today that is only concerned about self. Amen. But we are to love our neighbor as ourself. Have a little bit of compassion. Amen. Have a little bit of concern. Amen. When someone is hurting, we should hurt. When they're crying, we can cry with them. Amen. Because of the condition of the heart. Amen. And so serving God is not following directives and commandments because that's what we're supposed to do. Amen. It's not getting the calculator out and making sure that each payment of tithes and offering comes down to the penny. Amen. Well, praise God. You can be right before God and do that. But I'm telling you what, every now and then I just want to give a little bit more. Amen. Every now and then I want to just give to someone that's in need because God's blessed me. I'm looking around and saying, God, you gave me a beautiful house. Amen. But I want to make you a house. I want to give you a place, God, in which it proceeds from my heart. Amen. Nobody told me to. I just want to give to God from the heart something that's special. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Mark 2, verse 1. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. Mark chapter 2, verse 1, and he entered into Capernaum. After some days, it was noised that he was in the house. Amen. He was in the house. Do you know he's in the house tonight? Amen. Amen, Pastor. Amen. God's here, and we give a big yawn. Amen. But I'm telling you, the Lord is in this place. He is in the house. His eyes are upon the house. His heart is in the house and what goes on there. And it says, straightway many were gathered together, And the word many there would imply to us that there are many people numerically, but there were many people that were there in different aspects of life. There were scribes that were there. There were sinners that were there. It was a gathering. Amen. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, there was something in the heart of somebody. I don't know if it was the four. I don't know if it was the man on the bed. But somebody got an idea that was way, way out there. Amen. Somebody got an idea that said, let's go and tear the roof off of somebody else's property. Amen. It wasn't their house. They didn't have legal right to do that. And so they climbed up on the roof. Brother Mike, they started tearing shingles off. And then somebody broke out a crowbar and started tearing the sheeting off. And then somebody got a sawzall out and started cutting the roof trusses. And then somebody kicked downward and pushed the sheetrock down. And everybody that's in the room is covered with dust. Everybody's covered with the materials of that roof. And they're getting the dust out of their eyes. And they look up and a head looks over the side of the hole. Amen. Maybe waves at them. Said, hold on just a minute. And they took the man on the bed and they lowered him down into the room. Praise God. Somebody said, you're crazy. Well, I'll tell you what, faith gets a little bit crazy sometimes. Faith goes above and beyond sometimes. Amen. Because there is a heart that faith comes from. Amen. Faith is not doing what you're asked to do, but faith is going beyond, above and beyond. And saying, God, you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen. God can do great things, and it's His pleasure. Praise God. It's His pleasure when we go above and beyond. Amen. It's His pleasure when we come to the church and we're not feeling good, but we give God an extra amount of praise and worship. There's no commandment that says you have to do that. Amen. You can come and you can just sit there. I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost moves when we sit. Because when it was poured out on the day of Pentecost, they were all sitting together. You read the scripture, they were sitting down when the Holy Ghost came. Amen. We've got this law and this commandment here that the Holy Ghost can only fill somebody in the song service or at the altar call. And it's got to be in church where this takes place. But I'm telling you, I've heard of people getting the Holy Ghost. I heard of a lady way back, and she was riding on a donkey out in the field, and she started praying and seeking God, and the Holy Ghost came, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost in the field on the back of a donkey. Amen. Amen. God's used donkeys before. Praise God. Praise God. I'm telling you what, God's looking for faith. And if we don't have faith, we're not going to end up with a church. Amen. But with faith, we can have revival. Amen. With faith, we can see miracles take place. Amen. With faith, many, many can come to know God and be born again of the water and the Spirit. But it takes somebody that's willing to tear the tiles up. Praise God. It's got to have somebody that says, I'm going to tear out the old foundation. It's the only way I'm going to get down there to where he's at. And Jesus went above and beyond the thing that they even asked for. They were looking for healing. And he said to them, or to the young man, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. Now, wait a minute. He was sick of the palsy. He came there to be healed of his palsy. Amen. But he said, your sins are forgiven you. And then the next scripture, let's look at it. It says, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Amen. Why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? They had a God that was in a little box. And in that little box was the commandments. In that little box was everything that they knew about serving God. And they were even able to stuff more commandments in there that they had come up with on their own. Amen. This doesn't fit in our box. This doesn't go along with the program that we've been raised on, that we've been trained in, that we have learned from Moses and from every generation after him. They could not understand the simple scriptures. Isaiah 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. They could not remember or get a hold of the scripture that says in the Old Testament, behold, the Lord will give you a sign, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Why did Jesus not just heal the man? I'll tell you why. He wanted them to understand who he was. Amen. He wanted them to get a hold of a glimpse. He gave them, if you please, an opportunity to have faith, an opportunity to let their heart of hearts be revealed. And instead of falling down at his feet and saying, my Lord and my God, they said, this doesn't fit into our program. This doesn't fit into our worship service. This doesn't fit into the things that we're used to. And so we are going to reject it. You know what? Jesus went ahead and healed the man. Praise God. He walked out of the house with his bed under his arm. Amen. Went home and said, honey, everything's all right. I've been healed. But more than that, I've been forgiven. Amen. Well, praise God. If you're going to be blessed of God, you got to learn to go above and beyond. Amen. Got to learn to have faith that comes from your heart. You know what? I don't do what I do to get a praise of men. I'm not doing what I do for a job. Amen. If that were the case, I would have done something different. Amen. But I'm telling you what tonight, I want to please God. Amen. I want to go above and beyond and do some extra. Amen. I don't need recognition for it. I'm not going to criticize others that don't do what I do, but it's just from my heart. I want to be a David in my generation. Amen. I said I want to be a David in my generation. And when generations come, I want the Lord to say, I'm going to bless you because I bless your grandpa. Amen. I'm going to bless you because I blessed your great-grandpa. And somewhere down the line, someone may look it up and say, what do you know? My great-great-great-great-grandpa was an apostolic preacher. Amen. I don't know where it's all going to go, but I do know one thing. I'm in this because of my heart tonight. Didn't start that way, but it's become that way. It's my heart. It's coming from my heart. Amen. And another one, Luke chapter 19. Amen. Can we go a little bit further here tonight? Luke 19 and verse 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Everybody said he was a publican. You know what that is, right? That's a tax collector. He worked for the IRS. Boy, somebody ought to just smile a little bit tonight. It's really not that bad. He stole from people. He collected the taxes and then he said, I want some more. And made him pay even more. It was It was a job that was hated by the people. Nobody respected a publican. Nobody expected respected a rich publican. A rich publican was somebody who was very good at extraction. Amen. And here comes Jesus, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. Amen. Because he was little of stature. And he ran before, climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste, for today I'm going to have lunch at your house." Praise God. Why did Jesus do that? Don't tell me that there weren't other people that had climbed up trees, that had looked down, that had found other places, higher places to look over and just get a glimpse of this miracle man, Jesus. But there was something in the heart of this man, Zacchaeus. There was something, amen. Jesus said, "I'm going to come to your house." Well, okay, you can come to the house. We'll feed you dinner and send you on your way. But there was something in the heart of this man. I've got to go above and beyond. Amen. I'm not happy just to say Jesus came to my house, get a little plate, you know, a little brass plate, and put it on the place where the chair is that said Jesus Christ. Amen. And when people say, "What's that?" "Oh, that's where Jesus Christ ate dinner at my house." No, they did. He wasn't interested in that. When he came to his house, he stood up in the house and made a proclamation. You've all heard this before, but I'm telling you, it was something that came from his heart. He stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord." Now remember, he got all of his goods by theft, if you please. He collected money from people out of fear, and he stood and he said, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor." Amen. You know, it reminds me of a rich young ruler that came to Jesus. And he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said, "Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor." Amen. He turned and walked away sorrowful. But here was a man who didn't have to be told to do that. He said, "Lord, I'm going to give half of it." And you say, well, he was still stingy. He didn't stop right there. He said, "And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore unto him fourfold." You know, when it was all said and done, when Jesus left that man's house, he was probably a poor man. Half of his goods. That wasn't just his money. Half of the groceries in the cupboard. Half of the gas in the tank of the car. Amen. All of the things that he possessed, he figured up what it was worth and gave half of it to the poor. You're not going to get any recognition by doing that. There's no investment there. There's nothing that's going to bring anything back to you. Amen. But here's what Jesus said. He said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And I've got a feeling that David felt like, without God in my life, I'm lost. And whatever the cost is, when the prophet comes and says, "David, you're the man," there was no excuses. There was an immediate repentance. And David fell before the mercies of God. And it was in his heart to please God. He just fell into sin because he was a man. Listen, the way you serve God is so very important. Somebody said amen. 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 It's so important how you serve God. Amen. It's not a matter of performance. It's not a matter of I do this and I'm right with God. I'm telling you what, God will fill a drug-filled, alcohol-filled individual. He will fill them with the Holy Ghost if they will come to him with a pure heart. Amen. Say, well, how can a sinner be pure? Just read this passage over again, and you'll see that he was a sinner. Amen. Because there were others that looked at this, and it says when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Can you believe that? Why would he go to a sinner's house? I'll tell you why. It was a condemnation of Israel. Israel was so busy going through the program. They were so busy figuring out how much to give. They were so busy looking at maintenance at the temple, so busy making sure that everything was just right. But out there was a sinner that said, I need God. I need God more than I need anything else in all of this world. Praise God. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Getting carried away here tonight. You know what? You're not here. I hope you're not here tonight because the pastor says you need to be here. I hope tonight that you're not living holy because ... I pray tonight that you're not here, young person, just because your parents are here. There's a miracle here tonight. Praise God. I expected a little bit more of a response on that one, but there's a miracle here tonight. There's somebody here tonight that can receive the Holy Ghost right here tonight. You say, tonight, oh, I thought we had to have music. I thought we had to have dynamic worship. I thought we had to have from the housetop preaching here tonight. But I'm telling you what, there is a miracle. There is a miracle here. When Jesus preached and taught, he got in a boat and he got out a little ways, and the multitudes, tens of thousands of people waiting to hear what he had to say. And he said, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. So on and so forth. And when it was all said and done, he said, God bless you. Have a nice day. If anybody's hungry, we'll feed you right now. And he turns to his disciples and says, feed these folks. Feed them. And they got this look on their face like, Lord, did we hear you correctly? Did you tell us to feed the multitude? He said, yes, I want you to feed them. He said, Lord, we've only got a little bit here and a little bit there. But church, I'm here to tell you, it's not just a matter of praying. It's not just a matter of putting in your time of reading the Word of God or coming to the house of God. Somebody help me tonight. That's not the matter here tonight. The matter here tonight is, where is our heart? Where's my heart? I want my heart to be with God's heart. Amen. Praise God. You know, there's a miracle here just waiting to connect with the heart. There's a miracle here tonight waiting for someone to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is looking for a heart to connect with. I've seen people pray and pray and pray for the Holy Ghost year after year and never receive the Holy Ghost. One young man in Boston, I took him aside and asked him, I said, what's the problem? He said, you know, he said, I got to thinking about it, and he said, you know, I'm really not that bad of a person. I've lived a pretty good life, and he said, you know, I'm really not sure that I need the Holy Ghost. And guess what? He never received the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is looking for a heart to connect with. He's looking for a heart. Saint of God, don't get into a rut. Amen. But let's break out of the rut. Praise God. God's looking to bless someone financially. He's just looking for a heart to connect with. Just looking for someone that will give to his work. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to finish with Acts chapter 13, verse 34. And I want to prove to you tonight that this is not just Old Testament, but this is New Testament. Acts chapter 13, verse 33, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And then he goes on, Paul is preaching in a synagogue, and as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Praise God. You know the resurrection came about because of the sure mercies of David. Praise God. Should we just close down the service and go over to the Baptist church? I don't think anybody's over there. But we might liven the place up with the crowd we've got here tonight. Praise God. The sure mercies of David. The resurrection took place because of what David did. Not because of what David did, but it is an example of the heart of God. Amen. David had a heart after God's heart. It was beating together with God's heart. Amen. And so when the Holy Ghost was poured out, it was because of the sure mercies of David. When salvation came, it was because of the sure mercies of David. Thank God today. Let's stand together. Let's stand together tonight.